Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Redmen TV Instant Match Reaction Time. I'm Paul Machin, because Payjack joins me in the studio for this one.
Hi.
My overriding feeling and reaction to that is just a
malaise.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of inevitably, and we're seeing more of this. We always see this online for reactions, though. I've seen a lot of like big old reactions to this from certain people and certain quarters and what have you. And I get it, I do. You know, we put a lot on this, and I think it was just a bit crap, you know what I mean? I'm not angry, I'm just a bit like, with the whole thing. But that's what it is when Sam Allardyce gets one over on you. You never like, you don't feel like you've been in a fight. It's like you were distracted by something really boring happening outside your house, and then someone's walked in and had your telly off. But not even like your best telly, like your second best telly. So you come in, you're like, oh, that's a bit shit. I've not been wrong. I've not like had my house cleaned out, but like, I quite like that telly. That was the telly the kids watched. Oh, now they're going to have to watch in the living room, you know what I mean?
A shit boring mugging is what you're saying.
There's someone mugging you when you've got 50p on you. You know what I mean? It was just, we've had such a great feeling of positivity over the festive period and stuff. And I think we all strode into this looking for that to be a continuation, and it wasn't, and that's what stings.
Yeah, I think what annoyed me is they were there for the taking. And if Liverpool had put the same performance in first half as second, then I think we would have walked away quite clear winners. But I don't think...
Second
as first. And I don't think we did. I think second half, I don't know what it was, but the game should have opened up more for us. I mean, they have a few opportunities in the first couple of minutes of that first half, and you're thinking, okay, maybe they've come out of the shell a little bit, and they did come out of the shell, but they were just as resolute. And we were like, I don't know whether we just like ran out of ideas or we kind of settled into what it was, and maybe we did become quite complacent in the way that we played the game. The overlaps stopped when Matip went off on the right-hand side, certainly. Like, Trent did sit a little bit deeper with Reece there, and an early warning sign is that Grant one, isn't it, where Alisson makes a great save, and then Trent's not going forward quite as often. I don't know what happened second half, to be honest with you. I'm disappointed because I don't think the performance was good enough.
No, it felt like, you know, if you manage to nick a second one, I say this all the time, you know, in those games, 1-0 is... Sam Allardyce, we're 1-0 up, aren't we? Great. And Allardyce is going, they're only 1-0 up, this is it. Fine, keep going as you're going, lads. No, steady, you know.
That's why he's in job, isn't it? Yeah. That's why he keeps getting jobs. 100%.
But the onus then becomes on us and everything around us to G it up. And it's very, we talked about this about Mourinho, and Mourinho's Chelsea in 13-14. And we went from this barnstorming atmosphere against Man City the week before, where we were like booing and hissing and jeering every touch, and everything was just this cauldron of noise towards it. And then, but you can't boo and you can't get that atmosphere when you've got the ball, because you can't boo your own players. And I don't know what the atmosphere was like, because we didn't have it on, so I'm not singling out the crowd, but the players needed to go up a gear. They needed to find something else. They needed to plumb the depths to find something else. And you're right, I think they just, because it's not a trap. It's not like, it's like a death of a thousand cuts. You know what I mean? It's not someone walking up to you and impaling you through the heart with a sword as Sam Allardyce. It's just someone nicking away at you over time. And all of a sudden you get to like 80 minutes and you're going, what are we doing again? Oh, we were trying to have some thrust to our game, and
But the midfield for me, second half, didn't provide that. First half, they were providing it. I mean, you know, Gini makes a great run for Mane's goal, and Kerr gets into some good positions, and Hendo's controlling the tempo of the game. Second half, we didn't have that control in quite the same way as first, and we certainly didn't have the thrust, and we weren't looking for those direct balls like the Matip one. And I'm not saying that because Matip goes off, we become worse, because I don't think we started the second half well. But certainly it looked like, I don't know whether it changed Klopp's thinking, because at that point you were just sort of saying we needed that thrust, you needed to go kick up a gear. I expect the substitutions to do that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder whether the Matip sub changed Klopp's thinking, held his Ox sub for maybe 5-10 minutes, something like that, and we weren't able to inject that. Because that's a game for me that was crying out for Shaqiri and he wasn't used.
Yeah.
And the Divock one, I understand the substitution, but it doesn't work. And it's also a last roll of the dice at that point.
100%, yeah.
So that doesn't work. It's like, no, what was wrong wasn't the lad in the box. It was getting the ball to the box. So the Origi substitution made no sense in that. There was no one to play the ball to him.
It made sense only in, I think it was a pre-arranged, Bobby Firmino was never going to play the 90. And maybe there's a case that it might have been Minamino, but he's gone. I actually just need a goal here. So Divock make sense in that, in so much as of who else you've got left on the pitch. You've already decided you're taking Bobby Firmino, if I can only, which sounds mad. It sounds baff. It sounds mad that we are able to think of it from that perspective. But because we can be upset, we could be annoyed with that. But I tend not to be, because that's how we manage the squad. The Origi substitution was a complete waste of space and time and energy, because did he even touch the ball? I don't know. And the problem we've got is, we're bringing on, we're looking to add, inject a bit more. And Ox, to his credit, injected a little bit more
was
energy.
He the lad who played the ball for Firmino?
Yes.
That's a great ball.
Yeah.
And there was some really bright moments from Ox, like that cross. There was some really poor decisions as well. And that was across the board. I'm not just singling out Ox here. Some really poor decisions second half.
We've got the strongest bench we've had for a few weeks, but it doesn't mean that it's the strongest. We've still got our strongest side out to start the game, and that's always the issue. We're back to being a bit, was it last season? We won like every game last season. So it sounds, you know what I mean? Like it's negative or whatever, but you know, the front three are still the best lads we've got. There's no Jota there who you're maintaining the level when you're changing things. And the Shaqiri one's interesting, because it's, I agree, but also, I said this on the reaction show earlier, he's probably in exactly the same boat as Oxlade-Chamberlain. You were coming in expecting, you need fine margins at that point of the game. There's every chance, if Shaqiri's not been used, then it's probably for a reason. It's that he's not trusted to come in and do those things.
Thinking on that is, you've brought on two lads that aren't match fit. Shaqiri's not match fit either, mm-hmm. granted, but he's probably a lot closer than Ox.
Yeah.
Probably, because he's played football more recently than Ox. He's played football this season. Ox hasn't. So that was the sub that really kind of was like...
Well, Ox has played more recently because he's had a few minutes, hasn't he? But I take your point. He's played more matches, you know what I mean? So I think your point is spot on in that regard. And Origi's not match fit? No.
And well, he's not been injured.
Origi's probably the most match fit of them because he's played... We've just about got him to a rough level of it. So again, it all makes sense in its own mad way, but it's what I was saying before is, if Firmino's header goes in, and it's all coulda woulda shoulda, if it goes in and it doesn't, keeper makes a great save, so credit to the goalkeeper. It's another one of those games at Anfield where we've been a bit crap, but we've managed to get over the line, and we've had a few of them this season. Like low key, we've had a few of them this season. We've
kept going behind, like four games on the bounce. We kept conceding the first goal.
Exactly. We've not been scintillating this season at times. We just found a good bit of form, which is why it feels a little bit like it's a bit of a stumble here, when we feel like we're all looking to go, right, this is it. We're charging towards the finishing line of the league. Now we're not. We're not even halfway through the season yet. But it did feel like everything was coming together. But I do wonder whether this feeling that it's all easing, I mean, Matip getting injured doesn't help in all that, but again,
it might force us into the market, though.
Yeah, and I think it will. But I think the point is, again, looking at the substitute bench, we're still in that position where getting lads back on the bench is great, but Ox performance just smacked of a lad who's not played footy. And again, so what do you do? Do you not bring Ox on? Because you're going to have to play him at some point. You know what I mean? It's a we've got no choice but to play players back into some form of form and fit. This is just annoying. The game should have been, we shouldn't have been in that position. I said this during the game. If you don't get your second goal before 60 minutes, then you lose your ability to make this game everything you want it to be with regards to the substitutions. So instead of Ox coming on, as he did in Palace, and just getting 10 minutes of running around the pitch and getting his match sharpness back, he actually ends up being a guy who we need to make a decisive impact on the football match. And that's, you know, we should be perfectly capable of expecting this of footballers, the senior footballers, the playing Premier League level. But also, I'm a bit more forgiving and understanding. I'm not going to be critical of the lads who came on in that regard because,
well, none of the lads are fit on the bench, are they?
Yeah, exactly.
As good as a fucking bench we've had in ages, none of them are fit, so it doesn't matter. And you know, look, I was laughing at Allardyce and saying it was suicide the way that he was playing. Well, he fucking showed me for a start, didn't he? But his timing of it all, it was wonderful to watch. If you take the red tinted glasses off and go, okay, he didn't play for a fucking win. He didn't play for a win at all. He played for a point. But the half-time probably did surprise us, in that they came out and put a centre-forward on the field or moved the lad into the centre-forward position. That probably surprised us because we were probably thinking it's going to be the same for at least 30 minutes.
Well, it's telling the Klopp said, didn't reference it in post-match. He made it out like they didn't change their game plan at all game, and they did. They definitely shifted things in the second half.
That, for me, I think our lads came out second half and went, right, more of the same, we've got to get one. And they put someone there, and that just made Robbo and made Trent think a little bit more about defending. It meant that they weren't able to get up the field quite as much as they were in the first half. And everything else, because of that, wasn't as easy for the centre midfielders. So the midfielders didn't quite have the passes to the wings when we needed it. You said it during comms. I expected Trent to be there when Hendo had the ball and he was running through the middle. Well, Trent's now starting to think about, I've got Reece Williams inside me. Grant's just beating him for pace, all that type of thing. The timing of how Allardyce managed that game was worth a point.
It was a masterclass in how he does does his stuff. We had a few super chats that we missed on earlier shows, so I want to get through some of them now. Eaton Strawn says, very disappointing. Drop points against Fulham, Brighton and West Brom. We need to address that to retain the title.
I don't think we do because I don't think you need the points that we needed last year. Well, we didn't need the points we needed last year to win the league anyway.
Yeah.
I certainly don't think we're going to need as many this year. Mm-hmm. This isn't the season for 95, 90, 100 point seasons. It's just not. Mm-hmm. Everyone's in a completely different scenario, in a completely different fucking world right now. It's annoying, but once again, we didn't get beat.
If we want to win the league by 15 to 20 points, we absolutely do need to address that. I'm just not sure it's addressable, if that makes sense. Because of all the things that are going on around it. It might be, in 2 weeks' time, when the schedule slowed a little, and a few more players are a little bit more in the flow, and you get into a position where Oxlade-Chamberlain starts, but he's one of, you know, there's 10 other boss lads starting a game, and he's coming in, and he's just another piece of the puzzle. I think that world is when we'll see a clearer picture of where Liverpool are at. But I would, at the moment, I get the impression from this season, what we need to do really is just keep the other strong teams at bay and pick up as many points as we can from the other bits and pieces. But it's that kind of season at the moment, is that it's a bit mad. It's mad all over. I would think there was a major pressing issue if every other team wasn't fucking it up at every given opportunity around us as well. You know, Chelsea dropping points. Chelsea didn't get battered by Arsenal, but they did. They got battered on goals by Arsenal. Spurs, you know,
what the XG, Paul?
No, I know. But Spurs, Spurs lost two games back to back. Us and Leicester dropping points, United dropping points, all these kind of things. It's disappointing. It's more like, but Fulham, Brighton and West Brom are more disappointing because we expect to go and just, we expect 3 points. Oh, we'll just go there, get 3 points and come away. And then when we don't, it feels like a missed opportunity. That's where my disappointment falls on this. Again, same as Fulham, because we had a chance to take a
massive step. We were better today than we were against Fulham, by the way. Fucking hell.
Absolutely.
We were dog shit against them.
Yeah. Nick Govinden saying it's a mad season, but these games cost us the league in 18-9 and could cost us this year. Injuries hampering changes we can make from the bench. Yeah, same point on that, really, mate. And Gareth Bale says we should have got Big Sam some donuts and swapped them for the 3 points. I think he'd have been made up with that.
AMA, he's got a point here. Well, I don't know whether I agree with it, but I'll read it. Don't underestimate these draws. We're getting too many. Not good at all. Klopp was out coached by Sam. Totally sucks. I would flip that back at your IMA and say, don't underestimate these draws.
That was my exact, I thought that when you said that, my original thought was it was going to be a positive comment and saying, don't underestimate the importance of getting these draws, of not capitulating and throwing it away and losing it. Because right now, that's a big point. Because it doesn't feel, it feels like 2 points lost, and it feels like a point gained to them, etc., etc. But they're not getting beat stuff. We had that disappointing week prior to Tottenham. We drew with Midtjylland and we drew with Fulham, and we were like, ugh. And then we went and put a brilliant performance in against Spurs, and all of a sudden, just maintaining some forward momentum was actually an important thing.
And I think that's absolutely right, and that's it, isn't it? Hendo said it against Fulham, didn't he? He said, you know, when you can't win, don't lose. And actually, funnily enough, I think somebody else said it at the weekend. The manager, Brendan Rodgers, might have said it at the weekend after their draw with Man United. Now it's different because you're drawing from a winning position in this one, and it's disappointing because it's West Brom and because they played for that and they got that and because it's Sam Allardyce. Yeah. But come the end of the year when all the chips are down, we might be thankful for those draws.
Yeah. Well, knowing what's going to happen. It's really annoying when you watch it unfold in front of you, when you go, oh my God, this is going to happen, and it happened time and time again. Again, I keep mentioning it. I've seen that game 20, 30 times in my life, more than, you know, you normally get a handful of them a season, and we used to have them far more often than we do now. The point is they're never to get too disappointed about it, because it's not really a great barometer. It's only a barometer of your season when you're back, when you're fucking struggling and you need them 3 points, because then 3 points are going to get you in contention for fourth. We're in a position right now where we're leading the pack, and it's disappointing, but it's not catastrophic.
That's the other thing. Think of it this way: if you need to cheer up, we've had those three results and we're leading the pack.
Yeah.
Like, and tells you where everybody else is, you know, and this season, because it is just crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And there are going to be teams that can't beat teams, and there are going to be teams that lose games. And we're still, I think, going to come out on top after it all by double digits, Paul.
I just think I think the problem is it's stressful and life's horrible, and we're looking for solace. And what we'd kind of like is Liverpool to stroll the league again, because it means we just get to enjoy footy. Well, that's not what football is. Football is actually a bit of a struggle, and it's going to be a struggle this season. I think it's going to be a struggle compared to what we've seen from Liverpool over the last two seasons prior to it. But I think by comparison to everything else, we're going to be thinking we're toiling away. And I think in 10 games' time, we're going to look at the league and we're probably going to be 6, 7, 8 points ahead of whoever's in second, and be like, oh, fuck, how did that happen? It's got that feel of the season to me, to be honest. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily make us feel better right now, but it is what it is. Trick Josh just lastly with the super chat there, saying if we're going to keep at the top, we need to grind out results against the good teams and demolish the crap ones. Draw's not good enough. Yeah, I get that, mate. But at the moment, if you're demolishing the good teams and you're keeping the shit teams at bay, then you kind of, the net result's kind of working out the same. As long as we don't get beaten, because I think if you get beat, it just undercuts what you're doing a little bit. Liverpool keeping that home record going, particularly because Allardyce had that hole, he was the last manager to do it, and all that. The stage was set for him to come out and do that, and he had everything he needed to organise that game. I think that's a different, you know, and I said it was probably a good time to play him because he'd not had time, but from the flip, nobody's not bought in. Nobody's like, they're all prepared to give it a go and buy into it. You might find that if you played them with 5 games to go in the league and, you know, they're done and dusted, then you walk all over to West Brom. But no, it is what it is. I don't think we'll be worried about this result, I think, in a few weeks' time, but we'll have to see in the fullness of time. Right, listen, thanks. If you are a YouTube member, a club captain, a club legend level, then look at you. You get a bonus show. Normally go as on Monday, but we're doing it live tonight, very shortly. We're going to be going through this game in a bit more depth. We're going to bring Ross into the studio and have another continued chat. So if there's anything you think we've missed and you want to talk about in more depth, we're going to talk about Kurt. We're going to talk about the Matip injury and what that means and how that impacted and what that maybe looks like moving forward as well. The performance of Mohamed Salah, the performance of Oxlade-Chamberlain, the performance of Trent, all of that stuff, and a bit more about how we've got Allardyce and why that's a thing, unfortunately. So yeah, check out that show. So either become a YouTube member or subscribe to theredmentv.com. If you join at club legend level on the website, on theredmentv.com, you're automatically entered into a draw for this The signed Jordan Henderson Champions t-shirt. It's being drawn on Tuesday. So get your get signed up. Get loads of amazing extra content, documentaries, interviews with Liverpool legends, past and present, and a chance to win a Jordan Henderson signed t-shirt. So give yourself a little bit of a cheer up. Also, don't forget as well, we've got a discount on our merch store right now, Chris Page.
Yeah, 25% off using the code TOP. At the symbol at Xmas, and top and Xmas are in capital letters as well, just to really confuse you. But yeah, if you go onto the Twitter, you'll be able to find that. You can copy and paste it. I've got two more super chats as well. Man United fan super chat $2.99 says 21 is coming in 2022 when Liverpool have won this year and next year. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much, Ryan. And Trig Joshua says that depends on whether Man United and Everton, etc. balls up against the crap teams, Paul. Otherwise, we'll get caught. Well, let's just keep hope smiling, that they keep Josh. On doing it.
We'll be fine. Thanks so much, everyone, for watching. Hope to see you back here shortly for the final word show, but if not, have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and yeah, we'll see you for Newcastle on Wednesday. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.